Welcome everyone to the show, Tony and Mad Max, Thursdays day at 5:15 PM, 5:18 PM more precisely. A lot to talk about, man. Baseball, the Yankees played their first game today, took a loss to the Toronto Blue Jays 3-2. The Mets season opener is postponed here against the Washington Nationals due to COVID-19. Yeah. We have pro day talk with who the Jets may be drafting and much more. A lot to get into with sports, and especially the Knicks looking like them old selves again.
Yeah,
you're Nets pulling out a big win again last night.
You're going to have to explain that Nick game to me, man, because
disgraceful.
One minute they're up by 10, then I turn it back on and they're like, you know, game's over.
Yep.
And the T-Wolves won them, but you'll have to explain that to me later on. I don't know what happened, but the opening day started today. My goodness, man. Well, first off, the Met National game was like, I knew when they said that the Nationals had a positive COVID case, I was like, are we really going to be playing this tomorrow? Like, because yep. Now you're talking about who's exposed to who, contact tracing, like making sure, like protecting the Met team as well. Like, I was like, how are they playing this game? So then it came out officially this morning that the game has been postponed. Tomorrow it's also postponed because that off day is usually there for if there's a rain out on the regular opening day. But so they're going to try for Saturday. What a mess that is, man. COVID is still here, man. And I'll tell you, COVID has messed up some seasons for some teams, not just in baseball, but like hockey got hit hard with COVID for some teams. The Devils had to miss like a month.
That's right. And if you see it right now, New Jersey's the worst as far as COVID cases go right now.
And like, listen, when it comes to sports, they just wanted to be like cautious, which is smart. It's smart. So, I mean, hopefully they get to do it on Saturday, start the season off right. And hopefully everybody who was involved is recovered, all right, all that. But
Lindor signed the huge extension, 10 years, $341 million.
$341 million. I wasn't that surprised. I knew that they had to meet in the middle. I thought that 385 was kind of his value. The man is a top five player in baseball.
Yep.
But they met in the middle between 325 and 385. They met right in the middle of 341, which is $1 million over Fernando Tatis. So, God, these baseball players are so egotistical, man.
It's all about the money.
They compete over money. My goodness. But that's what happens when you're in a non-salary cap sport. These guys, they judge their careers over how much money they made in total. They basically compete against each other in terms of monetary value. And it's kind of just, and it's very disheartening and off-putting to fans because us fans just want to watch the games. But
exactly right. And it's going to mess up the chemistry of the team. I wonder if this contract is going to cause tension now for Pete Alonso, Michael Conforto, and even Jacob DeGrom, because all these players that they have on here now, they haven't received the big paydays yet. DeGrom has, but he may want an extension after what happened last night with the agreement with Lindor. But Pete Alonso needs a payday. Conforto needs a payday. Syndergaard's going to need a payday. So these players are really going to want to come to eat.
Well, Conforto is going to be a free agent after this year. So yes. I think he's going to test out the free agent market. He's probably going to want $200 million. DeGrom has an opt-out, I think, after next year. Syndergaard's a free agent. I mean, these guys know. Like, they read the posts. They know how much these guys are getting signed for, and they're like, well, why can't I make that? And their agents push hard for that.
Yes.
So that's – I don't think chemistry really matters, man. Like, this
if
isn't
I'm the Mets,
like
– I lock down those players. I lock down Conforto. I definitely locked down Pete Alonso.
That dude, that's a lot of money.
It is, but it's worth it.
It may be worth it to you as a fan, but like in terms of like an owner who's running a business, they look at it completely different. Mm-hmm. And that's why us fans, we're not in the boardroom.
No. If I was in the boardroom for the Jets, I think we'd won a Super Bowl by now.
at least you would say that you want to win a Super Bowl. Yes. Recent time. The real owners, they won't even say that.
Yes, they'll say there's no mandate for the playoffs.
Yeah, at least you'll make a mandate, let alone like winning a Super Bowl. At least you'll make a mandate.
Yes. Unbelievable.
But I want to talk about the Yankee opening day game, man. I don't know if you even watched the game.
No, but I saw the highlights and I looked at the statistics. Gary Sanchez had a solid start. 2 RBIs.
He was the only hitter that showed up.
Giancarlo Stanton booed, which isn't surprising.
He's earned that. That's so deserved. Yeah. I think that fans booing players is really, really well warranted. I never had any problem with fans booing players. Because your job is to entertain the fans, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're in the entertainment business. If you're not doing good, you're not going to get cheered. Stanton went 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. Like, he was completely lost.
If there was a player for any of your teams that you would boo, who would it be? You already know who I would boo. You know.
Wait, who would be a player that you would boo?
That you would boo for one of your New York teams.
But the problem is, like, I don't physically boo, like, myself. I don't boo. Like, I really don't. But I'm saying that people that don't like how fans boo their own players, I think is a joke, because they have every right to do so. It's like, they're not like insulting them. Like, this is like, they're not doing anything like horrible. They're expressing their feelings of just distaste. When you have talented hitters like the Yankee players today that are just striking out, dude, they struck out 13 times today as a team. The strikeouts have been a major
problem. Judge? In baseball. What happened to him?
Well, it's not so much what happened to him. He just had a rough game. He went 1 for 5 with 2 strikeouts. He struck out in big situations today.
Cole didn't look that good either. All these Yankee fans, not you. But
oh no! Well, Cole
fans that I talk to, the crap that I have to put up with when seeing Yankee fans wherever it is, where I'm out, or just talking to one either on social media. Oh, the Mets, they're going to be all right. The Yankee fans, you know what? You have a lot of problems with this team, and we see that from the opening day. You're not going to the World Series right now. We don't know that. So why are you writing yourself?
Well, first off, we have 161 games left. Cole pitched very good today. He showed up. He struck out 8 batters in 5 1/3 innings. Held the Blue Jays to 2 runs. Like, he pitched fantastic, and the bullpen pitched amazing as well. The problem was that the hitters just didn't show up, and I'm tired of it. There's too many strikeouts in baseball today, man. Like, have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. Just look at the day. You go back and look at the days of Pete when Pete Rose played. They all aim for getting singles and doubles. That's what the problem is with some of these Yankee players and a lot of hitters around the league, not just the Yankees. It's always going for the home run. It's either home run or strikeout, and you can't have that. That it's doesn't win games all the time.
Home run, 3-point shot, 50-yard pass. Like, there's very little, you know, like small plays. Not many bunts.
Nope.
Not many posts in the paint. Like, there's a lot of mid-range jumpers, but like, you know what I mean? Like plays in the paint, mm-hmm. Where you're trying to get the 2, driving up the lane. Not many of that.
Nope.
Running backs are not what they used to be anymore. They're not like as special. It's all about the deep pass. It's all about 3-point shot. It's all about the home run. Like, I guess that is all about the entertainment value. you're always going to want to see like the biggest play. The home run is the biggest play in baseball. The 3-point shot is the biggest play in basketball, next to probably the slam dunk. You know, the 50-yard pass is the biggest play in football. It just,
even though Sam Darnold can't even do that.
No, but like, it's probably the most exciting play.
I agree.
And then of course you have the A word, analytics.
Yes. With Darnold tanks in.
Analytics are now in basketball now. It started in baseball. It's in football now, and it's even in basketball. Man, you would be surprised how much deep diving statistics go into how some of these teams are built and how they're run. In baseball, it's disgusting. That's where you get all these strikeouts. Like these guys, and I was seeing it today too with the game. These guys don't work the counts.
Nope.
They don't work the count at all. I was watching in that 10th inning.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Jays had this guy. I think his name was Julian Merriweather, hard throwing right-hander. He was incredible. He threw like 8 straight strikes, and some of these pitches were like right down the plate. And the Yankee hitters, I think it was Aaron Hicks, Giancarlo Stanton, and like Gleyber Torres, just watched the ball go right down the plate. Window dressing, man. Like, no, it wasn't window dressing. It's what's that phrase when you're like just like staring?
Daydreaming.
They're probably daydreaming at the plate. Like they're just watching the ball. These guys can't like put together like competitive at bats. And what sucks is that like you get men on base with less than 2 outs, you got to drive them in. And then they end up having these at bats, these quick at bats where it's always strike 1, 0-1, strike 2, 0-2. And then you're in that hole. I can't tell you how many times I see Yankee hitters that are in the freaking 1-2, 2-2 hole where they're forced to protect the plate, but they can't protect the plate because all that's on their mind is hitting a home run.
Giancarlo Stanton, that's what you get. That's why when all these Yankee fans went crazy for him, I said that. I said, you're taking a big risk. He's a good player. But this guy, it's either strikeout or home run.
He's a borderline Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
If he was not injury prone, he'd be on bound for the Hall of Fame. 300 plus home runs, MVP. He still has a lot more of his career left. If he could hit 450 home runs, I don't think that he could hit 500 because he's just not healthy enough.
No.
For that, but borderline Hall of Famer. He has an MVP.
I agree.
But just, it's all over baseball. It's so just frustrating just seeing these hitters go up there and not have a plan at the plate. Like they don't have any sort of like, they don't like have any regard to pitches that are coming. They don't understand, oh, well, this guy's on second with less than 2 outs. Let me like move him over to third base. Let me ground the ball to the right side. Like have him move over. Like, or if a guy is on third base with less than 2 outs, let me drive him in with a sack fly. Hit and runs, you know, have a guy steal a base and let me swing and see if I can get the ball into the outfield. Like it's all about launch angle, exit velocity, getting the ball up in the air and as high and deep and far as you can put it. 400 feet. It's disgusting, dude. Mm. Now, it's only one game. It's only one game. It's early in April. I feel like a lot of these hitters, man, are ice cold. Ice cold. Like there is nothing coming off their bats. And the pitchers are very much ahead of them. That's what, dude. The Yankee pitching was stupendous today, and so was the Blue Jay pitching. That was the key. The key was who was going to get the big hit, and the Blue Jays got the big hits. But it's just so damn frustrating because I've seen this for so many damn years.
It's been a rough decade for the Yankees. You look at their past success with all the World Series.
To be honest,
this decade, there's been nothing.
You're right.
Yeah. And I'm a Mets fan. The Mets have actually been more successful in the past 10 years than the Yankees. Can you believe that?
Well, if you talk about one World Series appearance, but the Yankees have been to the postseason like a dozen more times.
Yes. In a wild card appearance.
In a wild card appearance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm talking about how many, like, how many years are we going to have to go through these hitters that just can't put together competitive at-bats, string together three, four, five hits consecutively? Doesn't happen. It doesn't happen, dude. Strike out, fly out, ground out, strike out looking, you know, pop up the ball, can't catch up to a fastball, like getting fooled on the slider. It's every year. But I mean, this offense is too much talent for it not to like perform, you know. And they had men on base. They could have won this game. They could have won this game so easily.
Big time. They should have.
But you got to come up with the big hits. And it's so just frustrating just seeing that crap. It really does.
I know what you mean.
But let's transition to the NFL pro days, man, because Zach Wilson lit up the field.
He did. If you saw the plays at his pro day in the throw, one in particular, which I'm really pissed off about, that the media is trying to spin this for the Jets
Was it the one where they said that he was under pressure, but the guy was like 10 yards ahead of him?
That one. And then the one where they compared him and Darnold in the game where he was running to his left out of the pocket and makes the throw on the run for a 50, 60-yard throw. They're like, Darnold can do it in the game.
No, Darnold can't do it. You know what Darnold does he's on the run like that?
Throws an interception. Into double, triple coverage.
Hey, you know what? Like, we may be laughing, but that's not like a joke. That's real.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold doesn't have the off-balance skills.
Nope.
When he's on one leg, dude, it's atrocious.
Yeah.
It's atrocious. Why would anybody compare that sort of play from Zach Wilson to anything that Sam freaking Darnold has
done? Yes, you finally came out and said that you want Darnold. Basically, you're done with him, it sounds like.
I mean, I'm not done with him, but I'm just saying, like, we've seen what he has done when he is running away, when he's scrambling and he throws the ball off balance, man. It's terrible. We've seen it.
We've seen it plenty of times. And if we keep him, we're going to see it plenty of more times.
Didn't they come out and admit that Darnold was going to start for the team?
That's what they said. And Corey Davis even said that was what he heard when he signed with the team.
Why are we even talking about Zach Wilson? You can't have two quarterbacks like that on your roster.
You can't. And then you're going to have another issue with freaking Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow where you're having two egos fight it out. Just dump Darnold.
Or worse, you have an issue with Mark Sanchez and no, you have an issue with freaking Geno Smith and Bryce Petty and Chris Hattenberg. That was three.
Oh my.
One of them was a second round pick.
Oh, and that's why we didn't draft Watson or even Mahomes.
You can't do that unless you're planning on replicating the Kansas City Chiefs model with Alex Smith and Mahomes. But even that is like, they don't have Andy Reid, a coach.
No.
They have a freaking first-time head coach, former defensive coordinator. Like, come on. Enough. You have a bunch of holes on this team. The Chiefs were pretty much ready to go. They were grooming Mahomes to take the spot. There's no grooming here.
No. They still haven't even filled the corner positions. Like, it's free agency. Let's go. What are they going to re-sign Brian Poole? He stinks. I mean, come on. You got to sign Steven Nelson. He's a free agent. How about Richard Sherman for some veteran experience? Or are we just going to wait for the draft and collect the scrubs in the fifth round? Because we already know they'll probably take Zach Wilson first. I want a running back with that first second round pick at the 23rd pick. And then they'll go all edge rushers. That's the Jets. Let's get pass rush when we need O-line and corners.
Let's get some defensive backs who, when you draft them, you find out, oh, wait, he has a freaking leg injury. We're probably going to have to wait and see when he's coming back. Oh, wait, it's already July. It's training camp. Oh, where is he? Oh, he's still it's a nagging injury. We still haven't found him. Oh, wait, it's week one. Where is he? He's still hurt. He's still on IR. Oh, wait a second. It's already midseason. Is he coming? He goes like, oh, he's worth thinking about it.
It's unbelievable. This team,
where does anybody get the gall to say that this team has any shot at playoffs? I mean,
I don't think so at all. There isn't. The receivers, I had Fireman Ed on the show last night. He thinks they should roll with Darnold. He thinks they have really great receivers. I respect his opinion. He's a diehard Jet fan.
He's the Jet fan.
Oh, yeah.
Next to Ira.
Yeah, he is. And Darnold, you know how I feel about him already. I want him gone. I've wanted him gone since he's been in the building. I gave him benefit of the doubt. You have the injury issues, and he's going through all these coaching changes, the mono, all of it. He can't read the field. He's terrible on one foot, the mechanics, all of it. I want him gone.
The only way I can see the Jets even sniffing playoff contention is if either number one, Sam Darnold figures it out with this coach. He uses his weapons, the people that he has now on that offensive line, the people that he has, if he uses those weapons effectively, doesn't make mistakes, doesn't get injured, but that's a shot in the dark. Or number two, if Zach Wilson comes in here and tears it up like Josh Allen.
Yes.
But they're not winning the East. That's going to the Buffalo Bills.
No, or the newly revised Patriot team.
I could see the Jets are losing to the Bills twice. Mm-hmm. The Jets are not beating the Dolphins twice.
Nope.
They're losing one and maybe winning one. I think they could beat them at home. Mm-hmm. Patriots, again, it's another one of those you can beat them, but I mean,
Belichick has their number. Twice. He always does.
It's just, and even there, like in that 1, 2, 3, 4, that's four losses right there. Possibly five or six. Possibly five or six.
Unreal. But the pro days, hey, I was sitting on my couch. I was jumping up and down. I said, I need a change of scenery from Darnold. Zach Wilson's throwing all these bombs. People are cheering. Hey, that's the guy. Justin Fields, why do I have a feeling, as much as we look at Zach Wilson as they has the it factor and he processes things well, he's got a good arm, throws a tight spiral, really great in being pressured and on the run. Why do I have a feeling if we take Zach Wilson that Justin Fields is going to be the actual stud quarterback? I just have a feeling we're settling with Zach Wilson, but Justin Fields is going to be the guy for some reason. He's very athletic. Fine. You see what he ran in his 50-yard dash, 100-yard dash there?
It was a 40-yard?
Yeah.
What was it?
I think it was a 4. He ran 4.41 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, he ran a 4.4?
Yeah.
It's good. Watch him go to San Francisco and tear it up.
Ugh. I could see it now. And then Zach Wilson will be the next Sam Darnold.
And then San Francisco trades Jimmy Garoppolo
to the Patriots. Oh, it never ends. In your mind, who should they take out of these two candidates? Don't give me Trey Lance. I know you won't, but all these other people.
Not Trey Lance, not Kyle Trask, not Mac Jones. Mac Jones may actually go to New England too. That's another option that Belichick may have. But I think they're going to go with Wilson. I really do. The fact that Joe Douglas was on that field with him and just talking to him, it's already a done deal. But you can't have Darnold on this team.
No, pack your bags, Sam. Imagine if they keep him. They have to trade him now. I don't know if they're going to do it during the draft. To be honest, I think they should package him up in a trade deal to try to get a higher pick in the draft. Because they got to get all these players that they can to fill in these.
But who's going to bite?
Tight end. They need offensive. They need one more lineman. They really need another receiver. But more importantly, a tight end, a center, a running back, and the corners.
This is why the Deshaun Watson stuff really wrecked the Jets' like number one shot of getting a legitimate quarterback.
It did. It really did.
Because you could have easily said, okay, we'll give you the 2 pick. We'll give you a quarterback in Sam. We'll give you another bunch of picks.
Yeah.
Just give us Deshaun Watson. And then we're set. Didn't happen.
But now he apparently is turned into the guy.
Yeah, apparently now he's got like over 20 women ready to sue him. It's gonna be closer to 40 by the end of the week.
Oh my goodness.
The guy. But man, but
I don't know. I think you're right, man. They're gonna be going with Zach Wilson. And have you had the chance or the opportunity to even look over some of these quarterbacks' play tape? I keep watching Wilson. I keep watching Fields, and it really is difficult to see which one to pick. Chris Sims said that Zach Wilson is the best quarterback in this draft class. You can side with him in a way because he's been right in the past couple drafts. He said that Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson were going to be the number one quarterbacks out of that draft class, even though they still don't count Mayfield, in which they should, because they took the Browns to the playoffs this year. He was my number one choice, but no one still wants to see it that way. He was right with Patrick Mahomes. He was right with Patrick Mahomes. He was right with Herbert. But now he's saying Wilson's the guy out of this draft. So I'm curious, have you looked at any of these play tapes?
I have not. I really haven't for a while. I mean, I'm just somebody that's waiting for I'm just waiting for draft night.
I'm ready to get it over with. April 29th. I'm ready to just get it done. Yeah. Done with already. I'm tired of speculating. I keep doing these mock draft simulators online. Oh, what do we do here? What are we going to do there? What if we get a big package deal from the fifth pick, either the Bengals or the Falcons, to move up and take a quarterback? Do we do that? There's so many scenarios that can play out in this year's draft, and it's a crucial one for the Jets. The next year's draft is going to be very fun. It's going to be really fun because you know why? No quarterbacks. Next year, we can grab a big-time receiver. We could grab a big-time corner.
But you better hope that we still have a quarterback that's able to play.
Imagine if they trade Darnold, Zach Wilson comes in there, he throws 50 interceptions. I mean, that's a little embellishing, but he starts gunning interceptions, and then he gets injured or something. Now,
let's say that they draft Wilson, and Wilson has like those rookie jitters and he just is not good.
No.
But that wouldn't really be like a huge problem because they would just say, oh, rookie season, new coach, new system, give him some time. We've been giving too many people too much time.
Yes, including Sam, everyone's favorite quarterback, apparently, in the media. I have to look at Riddick on Twitter where he's defending him and Damian Woody. What? Are they not watching the games on Sunday? Defending
Sam? That was your guy, Damian Woody, the freaking former Jet.
Yeah.
Of course, he won two rings with the Patriots. Two rings with the Patriots or one?
Two.
It was two rings with the Patriots, so I don't even know if you even want to count his opinion. My God.
And they're defending Sam. Get out. Even you said it last week on last week's episode. You even said that. He comes out looking like Peyton Manning. By the time we hit the second half, he's Blaine Gabbert. Enough.
Exactly.
Get him out. Send him back to college. Send him back. because I don't want him here no more. You know, I don't like Sam. I don't know how many times
I have. I actually saw Sam Darnold in person.
You know,
he's actually a tall. He's a pretty. I never met him, but it was at the Michael Kay Show Christmas party. He actually came, and pretty tall guy for somebody who is like 20. I think he's 23. Like he's a tall. He's a pretty tall guy. I mean, it makes sense. He's an NFL quarterback. You better be tall. But like.
What do you think I would have said to him if I was at the party, or even what do you think I would do if I was at MetLife Stadium and I saw him play and I was sitting front row behind the Jets bench? What do you think I'd say to him?
You'd probably be like, yo, Sam, like you have all this talent, but to be honest, nothing's getting done.
You stink. Go back to USC.
Oh, I got to USC. You talk to me like nothing's getting, and I feel like nothing's getting done with you.
The thing that is sad, and I'll admit that with the whole thing with Sam, is that he's had bad coaching with Adam Gase for the past 2 years, and he only did anything but just stick up for the freaking dumbass coach that they had. But they haven't really given him any talent. The crucial thing is where this comes into play with Sam and why he's not that good of a quarterback, even though he hasn't been given the talent around him. He has not shined at all. How has he elevated this team at all? There's nothing exciting. He can't move the ball down the field. When they had Flacco in there playing backup, he had that team rolling more than Sam did in his entire time here.
Yeah.
He stinks.
But let's transition to a final topic here of basketball, man. Like, let's do Brooklyn first, because, you know.
Oh, boy.
Then Brooklyn, the first place Brooklyn Nets, I may add. First time in first place since 2003. April of 03 with freaking Jason Kidd, Richard Jefferson, Kenyon Martin. Yep. Oh, my goodness. Long time. Dude, I was watching the Nets since 2009. And they were in the freaking Izod Center.
Yep.
Like, from the move to Prudential, from the jump to Brooklyn.
The nine games.
The nine game, the nine win seasons, the years with Darren Williams, the years with, you know, with D. Brooke Will, Lopez. Joe Johnson, Brooke Lopez coming up, the debacle with Paul Pierce and KG.
Gerald Wallace.
Gerald Wallace. Well, Gerald Wallace was before Pierce and Garnett. He was in that trade. The aftermath of that horrific franchise-destroying trade that Billy King made, where you had guys legitimate just garbage. You had, like, Alan Crabb. Just terrible. Alan Timofey Mozgov. And then you had Sean Marks come in here and just make great deals, bring in D'Angelo Russell. You know, bring in draft guys like Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert. And then you look at what you have now, it's crazy.
It's a completely different franchise from the Knicks. Totally different. The Knicks different. Are still, even though we think we're going forward, we're spiraling backwards now.
What happened last night? What happened in those last
Just a typical Knicks game. There really isn't anything different about when they lose. They had the lead. They lost it and lost by 1 point. That's all it really was to it. It looked like an old Knicks game. And now here's where this comes in. And you might be like, Max, this is just a bunch of BS. But who left the team last week? Who left the team last week for Mike Woodson? He went back to his alma mater.
Oh, Mike Woodson. Yep, Mike Woodson books. Well, dude, it's a freaking head coaching job. You think he wants to stay and be a freaking, like, lapdog to Tom Thibodeau?
Well, I'm just waiting for Tom Thibodeau to go away, and then Mike Woodson can come back in. Maybe that he. I feel as though Mike Woodson is the good luck charm to that Knicks team. All of a sudden now they've lost all the two back-to-back games. I mean,
apparently he trusts Elf Payton to start at the one over quickly, which I don't get at all.
Horrible.
I mean, and like RJ Barrett, listen, it was just a game where you had to get a basket to win, and RJ just couldn't hit it. The problem, though, is that you played a Timberwolves team who was bottom of the league, But I'll tell you this, dude, the Nets were down by like 20 to the Rockets last night.
And they came back.
They came back by the grace of God. They came back just because their offense like took off. Blake Griffin was shooting threes. I was like, what is this?
Yes.
and Nick Claxton came off the bench and played 20 amazing minutes. Like Nick Claxton really, I think Nick Claxton could, people are saying that he could develop better than Jared Allen.
Maybe. Could.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But they lost Harden to hamstring tightness. He's not playing tonight. LaMarcus Aldridge debuts tonight against Charlotte. Griffin's out because they're not playing him in a back-to-back.
KD apparently just is still not coming back, but he can war with Michael Rapaport on Instagram.
Oh my God, you need to get Rapaport back on. Talk about that.
War
KD
with him.
Trash. KD buried him. Like buried him. Like
he did.
Bad. Like it. Listen, those sort of things I don't really care about. KD really does talk a lot on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, and then people say, he should be suspended for what he.
No,
get out of it.
First off, I don't think the league would dare suspend him.
No,
the league is not. But KD, I think, should probably be coming back sometime next week. Hopefully, knock on wood here.
Say a prayer.
Yeah, please. Guy's been gone for like a month. Started out with a freaking hamstring injury, and then it turned into a freaking month-long like rehab and no idea where he was. He was with the team, but like he was just wasn't active.
Drummond had his Lakers debut and hurt his toe,
scored what like 4 points or some crap like that. Mm-hmm. Couldn't beat the Bucks. Couldn't stop Giannis. I don't know, like everybody was going nuts for Drummond. I mean, like I wanted Drummond on the Nets just because I wanted that front court help. But that was before I even knew about LaMarcus Aldridge. It's just like, it would have been nice for the Lakers to beat the Bucks last night, but, you know, Giannis just went off and had a great game. Drew Holiday had a great game. Lakers are really missing LeBron and AD right now.
Oh, Jeannie Buss saying, bring it on.
That team is fifth in the West, dude. They're only like two games. I think they're only like two, three games out of seventh, mm-hmm. the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
NBA regular season is kind of fugazi, if you think about it.
It is.
Because the Lakers are going to go to the freaking Western Conference Finals.
I believe so. Especially if LeBron comes back.
I think they will go to the NBA Finals too, because that Jazz team is great, but you're running into playoff LeBron. Come on, next level stuff.
Let's get real here.
Let's get real here is right, but hey, you know what? For the Nets, it's all about just health, please, like health, playing good. And doing what you got to do.
Knicks need to tighten up. They play the Mavericks tomorrow night. And who's coming back? Kristaps Porzingis.
Well, I think the key for the Knicks is just to stay afloat. Knicks are going to be in the play-in, at least. They're not dropping past 10th, dude. They'd really have to like crap the bed.
And if they do that, it's Woodson's good luck charm. It's gone.
Woodson's good luck charm. And then they'll really be talking about Thibodeau. They'll really be asking him questions, being like, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened to this great play?
And then you'll find out they'll fire him. Then you'll find out he was using Woodson's playbook all along.
Oh my God. And then they'll freaking hire back freaking Phil Jackson.
No.
they'll fire Leon Rose and bring back Phil Jackson.
As he could fall asleep at workouts, be racist, and blame Carmelo Anthony for the team's problems.
Blame Carmelo for why they haven't won a title since freaking 73.
No.
Be like, oh, well, we haven't won a title since then because of Carmelo Anthony. It's all his fault.
Yes.
but at least if that would happen, James Dolan would just like take a back seat. he wouldn't be seen. Let's cap this off, man. Let's do our socials.
Yes. So you go first, as always.
My Instagram is at TANOOCH96. Once again, at TANOOCH96.
Mm-hmm. And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Real Max, TheReelMax. Again, TheReelMax. You can check out all of our previous episodes on my website, maxrcoughlin.com, MaxrCoughlin.com. We're available on all the podcast platforms, Podbean, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Even all the visuals are on my YouTube channel, Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max, here where we live stream and play on WSJU Radio as well. And this is our Thursday. This was the Thursday, and we'll be back next week and rolling.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget, wear a mask, wash your hands. And when you get your opportunity, when it's your turn, get vaccinated, please. When it's your turn, get your COVID vaccine. So thank you guys for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of your night. So long.